Our text is found in Psalm 119, verses 59 and 60. I thought on my ways, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste, I delayed not to keep thy commandments. When the Lord converts a sinner, he changes the heart, and he writes his law upon the table of the heart. We're told in Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. This is the result of regeneration. In regeneration, the Lord implants a principle of life into the soul of a dead sinner. This is what the Scriptures figuratively expressed as being born again or born from above. And the result of regeneration is a converted life, a life which will necessarily produce a distinct obedience to the Word of God. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Holiness in the life becomes something the believer longs for. The Lord's commandments become the soul's delight because they reflect the very character of God. In Psalm 119, we find the psalmist time and time again being caught up with the splendor of God's law. He says in verse 97, Oh, how I love thy law! In verse 77, thy law is my delight. In verse 111, they are the rejoicing of my heart. The commandments were glorious to David. They were not grievous and burdensome to him. To David, God was his portion. God was his delight. And here David is resolved to bring forth the fruit of obedience. In Psalm 119:57, we read, Thou art my portion, O God, and I have said I will keep thy words. So the focus of our text this morning then is on the timeliness of obedience. The phrase, I delayed not, is a Hebrew idiom that intensifies making haste. It's an emphatic construction. It's a double expression stated both positively and negatively. Positively, I made haste. And negatively, I delayed not. The psalmist is saying, I hurried. I immediately responded. I instantly responded. No time was lost. I did not procrastinate. I made haste. So there is an urgency in obeying God in this text. Why? Why is there such an urgency? Because David knew how deceitful his heart was. He knew that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He knew that sound convictions can quickly pass away. Resolutions unto God, no matter how serious they are soon gone. They pass away as the morning cloud and as the early dew. How easily our hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We are familiar with Romans 7:15, which says, For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. There is always a struggle then with indwelling sin. And this is why David wants to hasten to keep God's commandments. He knew the tendencies of his heart, his proneness to wander from the ways of God. But here, was the means to overcome. Here was the way to improve his condition. When godly convictions begin to work in his conscience, he would yield instantly to their influence. David was resolved to hasten, to obey, to not delay in keeping God's commandments. For if he delayed, he knew how easily it could quench the spirit that was at work in his heart. This is why David is so emphatic about hastening to the Lord's commands. So this morning I want to look at three aspects of hastening obedience. First, the evidences of hastening obedience. Third, the extent of a hastening heart of obedience. Second, that was. And third, the effects of a hastening heart of obedience. So first, the evidences of a hastening heart of obedience. An evidence that you have that your heart is hastening to obedience is willingness. The psalmist here is willing to obey God. A hypocrite obeys God grudgingly and against his will. And he will look at his obedience as some self-righteous work, some merit trying to earn God's favor. We know we can't earn God's favor. God's favor has been earned by the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect obedience to the law of God, which is imputed to us. That's our righteousness. He's our merit. But the Lord wants our heart. That's where the seat of obedience resides. An old Puritan put it this way: willingness is the soul of obedience. Moreover, a hastening heart of obedience is also cheerful. And the cheerfulness shows our attitude in obedience, that we love God and we seek to please Him. Further, obedience is an expression of our love to Christ. Our Lord tells us in John 16:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And in 16:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." So do you love Jesus? Do you keep his commandments? Christ says, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my commandments." So if you really love Christ, you will keep his commandments. And I'll challenge you to examine yourselves even further. In 1 John 2:4, it says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Another evidence of a hastening heart of obedience is sincerity. The psalmist is very anxious to obey God here. He does not stop at just convictions. He does not stop at conscience, but desires to bring his conscience into action. Feelings and emotions are not enough. It must end in action. And David does not want the praise of men. He does not render obedience merely to gain man's applause or respect. His obedience is not like those of the religious hypocrites of Matthew 6, who, when they gave alms, sounded the trumpets in the streets to receive the glory of men. David wants to obey God in order to please Him, to do those things that bring glory to God. When we are sincere, our motives are godly. A third evidence of a hastening heart of obedience is consistency. True obedience matures as the child of God grows in grace. And the believer sets his heart to follow after holiness. It becomes more and more consistent in the progression of sanctification. A heart that is ready to obey God is not seasonal. A hypocrite's obedience is only for a season. But a true believer's obedience sustains the trials, the difficulties, and the afflictions. It is a constant exercise of faith in denying self, and therefore a hastening heart depicts a heart that is habitual in obedience to the Lord. Now, secondly, I want to consider the extent of a hastening heart of obedience. Let us consider this by looking at the term, thy commandments. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Note that they are thy commandments. That is, they are the Lord's commandments. They are the precepts and laws of the Most High God. They reflect His holy and His righteous character. They are a transcript of His moral character. And as such, they have absolute authority over our lives. For God has spoken it. Thus saith the Lord. God is our sovereign Creator, and we are His creatures. And His law is holy, just, and good. And He's given us His law. He's revealed His law and will for our lives. And God's laws and precepts are the very rule of our faith. Rule of our practice of our faith. We are not a law unto ourselves. We do not determine what is right and what is wrong by ourselves. We are not autonomous in this. These things are established by God. This is the way God created us. God created us to be subject to His law. When He created Adam and Eve, He created them under law before they ever fell. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. He is the Creator. We are His creatures. He is the lawgiver. And we must live by it. It is only God that is ultimate and autonomous. Secondly, the term commandments has a broad connotation. Commandments here refers to the whole of God's revealed will, God's revealed word in all of its entirety. It's not just the Ten Commandments. It's not just the law of Moses. It's not just the Pentateuch. But it's the whole of God's revealed Word. All the duties that God requires of us that are revealed in His Scriptures. This is the rule God has given us to direct us how we may glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. In short, the commandments refer to all of God's will as revealed in Scripture. And this is epitomized in the Ten Commandments, codified in this summary. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And mark this down. Our obedience must be extensive and reach unto all the commandments of the Lord. We don't have the luxury to pick and choose those commandments we want to obey. We cannot cherry pick the commandments of God. God's stamp of authority is on all His commandments. All of God's commandments are equally binding upon us. A hypocrite only obeys the things that are convenient, the things that are profitable to him. But true obedience considers all the commands that God requires. The psalmist said, then shall I not be ashamed, blush in the Hebrew, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Do you have respect unto all of God's commandments? Or do you pick and choose just those ones that are convenient for you? Now, the third aspect of hastening obedience that I want to consider is the effects of a hastening heart of obedience. And I will just briefly mention two effects of hastening to keep God's command. The first, and probably obvious, is an approved conscience before God. A tender heart that's sensitive to God's will. A conscience that rests in the peace of God. And a heart like David's that loves God's word. Oh, how I love thy law. These are the blessings of a hastening heart to keep God's commandments. Now, on the other hand, what are the effects of delaying to keep the Lord's commands? Well, they're just the opposite. You have a guilty conscience. You have a hardened heart. Delaying to keep God's precepts will give you a bad conscience. A conscience that haunts you and reminds you that you're not at peace with God. You will know that your action or your lack of action is not approved of God. And it will eat away at you like a cancer. How many have hid sin in their heart and gone for a period of time not obeying God and knowing it and living in that conviction of sin until God awakens you and burns you in your heart and brings you to submission to His will? You will be like the psalmist of Psalm 38. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, for my iniquities have gone over me. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink, are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. Until you come to the Lord and are willing to bow down to His sovereign lordship, until you are willing to order your life according to His word, you will suffer such an anguish of soul. We must not take obedience to the Lord lightly. You cannot remain in a state of rebellion and disobedience without a hardening of the heart. The Bible speaks of those with a seared conscience, a conscience that has been numbed by the habit of spurning God's word and continually suppressing the duties that Christ requires of us. If you continue in disobedience, your heart will soon be hardened and you will no longer feel the pain of disobedience. It'll become easier to you. You'll no longer desire to make God's word the rule of your life. Walking by God's rule will now make you bitter and resentful and become a terrible burden. God's commandments will become like the heavy burden on pilgrims' back. You'll no longer have respect nor honor the Word of God. You want to live for yourself rather than to please God. And if you do not hasten to obey the Lord, you can then expect a hardening of the heart. So in summary then, we have examined an hastening heart of obedience from three aspects. The evidences of a hastening heart of obedience, the extent of a hastening heart of obedience, and third, the effects of a hastening heart of obedience. I now would like to make some application of our text. So the first one is, procrastination is the first sign of a hardening heart. Beware of smothering early convictions and yield instantly to their influences. Do it before you harden your heart and you quench the spirit. Don't put it off. Don't wait for a more convenient season. Guard your convictions. Quite often, when we do see our sins, when God shows us our sins, we are slow to do anything about it. We have this natural slowness to obey God because of indwelling sin. And to be slow to keep God's commandments is the same as breaking His commandments. It's the same thing as disobedience. To delay in dealing with your sin is to increase in sin. And when you indulge in any known sin or neglect any known spiritual duties, you're putting your soul at risk. You're presuming upon God. You're presuming upon the grace of God. And what a terrible state that is for your soul to be in. We must see that disobedience springs out of and comes forth from delaying, from procrastinating. But rather, we must watch and pray. Our Lord exhorted His disciples on the night of His arrest, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Prayer will nurture a heart that is sensitive to the will of God. Watchfulness will keep you alert and on guard that you might avoid occasions to the flesh. If the Lord has revealed some sin to you, some sin in your life, don't walk into those situations that would encourage and entice you to disobey God. Walk away from it. Flee from it. They will keep godly and spiritual convictions fresh in your heart. Obedience to God's commandments keeps those convictions fresh and sustains them. Hastening to keep God's commandments requires watching and praying. Second, self-examination is the first step to hastening obedience. If you look at verse 59, which establishes the context of 60, this verse is inseparable from our text. And it was this: "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." The Hebrew word used here for thinking signifies seriously considering. Seriously thinking on a man's ways accurately and studiously. You see, the psalmist studied his own life. He seriously looked at his own sin and errors. David studiously thought about his duties and his practices, about all his words and his actions, and found many, far too many, to fall short of God's rule. Many indeed. Are against God's commandments. And he wasn't happy with this. He grieved over this. He searched out what condition he was in. He examined his ways before God in His Word. We must then let the thoughts of our sin stir us up and give us a holy anger and grief over sin and stir us up unto obedience. Thoughts of sin are not that you can wallow in your grief and sorrow. Thoughts of sin are encouraging you to obey the Word of God. We must daily call ourselves into account in order to find God's grace and strength to live an obedient life. Consider David's prayer in this matter, a text we studied last week. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You will never increase in holiness or progression in sanctification until you see your sin, until God reveals our sin and we act on it. And we're not content with some minuscule progress in sanctification, but really desire to abide by God's rule and really desire to be more like Christ, more conformed to the image of Christ. Do you desire this? We all know what the Bible says about holiness. Follow after peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And the without which, the pronoun which, refers only to holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We'll never increase in holiness until we search our hearts. Sometimes, I don't read very fast, so it's a lot of work for me to read, but I know I have to read, and so I force myself to read. But sometimes, I think if I could just put my hand on a book on the shelf and soak up all the knowledge, just in some mystical way, how great that would be. And I think sometimes we look at holiness as that God will mystically impart it to us. But no. We're to follow after holiness. We're to track it down like a hunter tracks down their prey. The third observation is this. Obedience is more than just outward observance. It is the true expression of your heart. It is your heart that you give to the Lord in obedience. All obedience or disobedience originates and flows from the heart. What we do in our conduct is an expression of the heart. It is the motives of our heart that determines our actions. And it is the condition of the heart that will determine whether you will live in heaven forever or in hell. For all sin and all evil actions of men originate in the heart. And Christ had much to say about the heart. He said, "For within, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries, fornications and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man." So easy it is to look at our sin in the outward actions, but we don't look internally to the state of our heart from which those outward actions flowed from. Obedience is more than just an outward observance. It's surrendering your heart to the Lord. We need to pray as David did. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now, fourth, obedience is a good test to examine yourself. Oh, I want you to turn to 1 John 2 and verses 2 and 3. 1 John 2, 3 and 6, 3 through 6, pardon me. Verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, 'I know Him,' and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, 'I abideth in him,' ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." You see, obedience to God's word is a fundamental mark of grace in the believer. Matthew 12:33 states, "A tree is known by its fruit." Obedience is the evidence of spiritual life, the evidence of a new birth. that we are the children of God. So search your heart and examine yourselves. The passage in 1 John that we read clearly places obedience as one of the primary tests of our faith. Charles Bridges, in his great commentary on Psalm 119, said, "Obedience is the only satisfactory test of our profession." Are you obedient to God's Word? Do you have respect to all of God's commandments? Do you love the Lord enough to obey Him? And does the love of Christ constrain you? Beware of a presumptuous spirit. You say, "God is a forgiving and gracious God. I know it's wrong, but God will forgive me in this one area." And then you willfully and defiantly go on to disobey God. What a fearful state you are in if you presume upon God and try to take advantage of His goodness. Never presume upon the goodness of God. David once prayed, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me." Now, fifth observation, if you truly desire to make haste in obeying the commandments, then you can expect many obstacles. The Lord may test your sincerity. Look at how He tested Abraham when He told him to offer up his son as a sacrifice unto Him. Abraham did not delay. In fact, he didn't talk about it with his wife. He rose up early and left so there would be no obstruction to his obedience. He made haste. He didn't delay to keep the commandment of God. Satan may seek to put a snare before you. You may experience many temptations. And I'm reminded of Joseph when Potiphar's wife grabbed him and took hold of his garment and said, "Lay with me." Joseph made haste. Bible says he fled and got him out. He left in such a hurry that his garment was left in the hands of Potiphar's wife. He made haste. He would not delay to keep the commands of God. He was determined not to sin against God. Therefore, if you truly desire to make haste in obeying the commandments of God, you can expect many obstacles. And finally, in closing, our text is appropriately applied to the gospel of Christ. Repent and believe are the fundamental commandments of the gospel. The Lord's means of grace in saving sinners is through faith and repentance. And all men everywhere are commanded to believe the gospel and to repent of their sins. 1 John 3:23 says, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." Then in Acts 17:30, in Paul's addressed in Mars Hill, he says, "God commands all men everywhere to repent." So you need not delay for a more convenient time if you're not believing in Christ. You need not delay or worry about whether God has elected you or not. Make haste, delay not. Now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Come to Christ. Repent and believe. Avoid any delay. Make haste. Delay not to keep God's commandments. Father, as we see this text from Your Word, we see how far short we come of this attitude towards obedience. We pray, Lord, that You would grant grace in this area and make us to be obedient to Your Word and to Your will. For this is glorifying to You And this is the very heart of love for Christ. Oh, Lord, make us to love Christ, we pray in His name. Amen.